in Romans chapter 13, beginning at verse 11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. I'm trying to preach tonight on how to live victorious in difficult times. I think everybody here would agree that these are difficult times that we're living in now. The time of drifting away. So many people are drifting away. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3 says that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. And so I think that the time of drifting, some of us older ones have lived long enough to see the church as a whole drift from the old paths. Jeremiah said in his day in 6:16, "Change the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where's the good way and won't go in." But they said, what we're saying now, we will not walk therein. But may God help us to live in victory. If you're not careful, you'll be defeated in these times, because it's a time of departing from the faith. 1 Timothy 4:1. The Spirit speaks expressly. Now, sometimes the Spirit speaks softly, but here He speaks expressly, forcefully. The latter time some shall depart from the faith, given heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So that's another thing. There's a reviving of demon spirits. We know it by the music of our day. We know it by the morals of our day. And we know it by some ministers of our day. The devil, don't forget, it's a day of deception. You know, the Bible said, in 2 Corinthians 11, he said the time these apostles of Christ are such as false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. So we have now a great move of so-called apostolic power and so-called apostles. TV's filled with that stuff now. The Bible calls them deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. One time I said, "Well, I wouldn't have said that if I was you, preacher." I said, "That's the reason I'm a preacher. I'm not afraid to say it." Paul said it. Paul said, anybody now that, you know, the book of the Revelation, chapter 2, the church of Ephesus, tried those that were said they were apostles and found them liars. He didn't find them good folks. He found them liars, religious liars. 2 Timothy 3, 13, evil men are seducers. Shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Then we're in a time of distress of nations. Luke 21 tells us that in verse 25. He said to be distressed of nations with perplexity, to see in the ways ruined. That means there's going to be problems with no answers. And that's what we're facing today. So you have to watch, looking around too much, you'll get defeated if you're not careful. In these days, that's why the pastor quoted, as you need the church so much the more as you see the day approaching. Somebody said, "Well, they used to just go to church once a month." I said, "That's right, but today wasn't approaching like it is now. We need the church more. How good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." The psalmist said, "I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord." Let me just tell you what not to do in these difficult times. First of all, don't jump ship. Stay with the church. Amen. You need the church needs you. We're members one of another. We're all baptized one spirit into one body, members one of another. So the body needs the entire body to function properly. So don't jump ship, a lot of folks are. And then don't join the crowd of compromisers. Oh, the time's come now when they've lowered the standards, you know. Getting new perverted versions of the scriptures, cutting it down, toned it down, saying all about love and nothing about wrath. Listen, if you miss everything else I say, it's a sin to preach the love of God and not preach the wrath of God. All of God's attributes are controlled by His holiness. Wrath is holiness responding to sin. I'm glad that the Holy Ghost said the love of God abroad in the heart. I'm glad of that. And I'm glad he that loveth knoweth God is born of God. But God's also a God of wrath. The first thing John the Baptist said to a group of Jews one time to come out to him, he said, "Who's warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" You know, he didn't say nothing about love. He knew if they wasn't afraid of wrath, they weren't ready to get converted. I said to you, if you're not afraid of wrath, you're not ready to get converted yet. If you find a fellow that's under the wrath of God and knows it, he's locked up on death row with a sentence of death, and somebody comes with a pardon, the governor's down, you won't have to say to him to get him to take a pardon. He'll be ready for the pardon. And every unbeliever is a child of wrath, Ephesians 2, 3, John 3, 36. The Bible said, he that believes on Christ has everlasting life. He that believes not shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. I'm glad I got out from under wrath, and I'm saved from wrath to come. Now I'm a child of love, praise God, washed in the blood, saved by grace, heaven born, amen, heaven bought and heaven bound. Hallelujah. Now, another thing, don't get too judgmental. And I have to preach to myself here. If you're not careful, you put you in the back of you. Want to check the filler out, haven't got different stuff yet. So, listen, you don't be too judgmental towards folks. Ain't that right? You know, it's amazing how good our sins look and how bad other people's sins look. You know, don't you wish our sins looked as bad as ourselves as other people's sins look to us? May God help us. Aren't you glad God looked at us through His wonderful loving eyes through Jesus Christ? And I'm glad He's willing and ready to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Best we can do is awful bad. I told a fellow here real critical the other day. I said, well, I agree with you. They said, there's nobody right but me and thee. And most of the time I doubt thee. Don't lose your joy. I'm talking about what not to do. You won't have victory if you lose your joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Since you're saved in America, where we still got old-time churches and the Word of God to be preached, then you ought to, having not seen you live, though now you see him not yet believing, yet you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. You ought to rejoice because you've been forgiven. You ought to rejoice because you got a good Heavenly Father. You ought to rejoice because you got a bright future. Rejoice because you can assemble with a family over the house of God. I say, praise God and the Lamb forever. Yes, sir. I'm talking about how to have victory. How to have victory in these difficult times. First of all, examine yourself, see if you're saved. Someone said, well, I think we're all saved. Well, I hope we are, but I'm afraid we're not. He's talking to the church in 2 Corinthians 13:5. He says, examine yourself, see if you be in deep faith. Prove your own self. Know not your own self that Jesus Christ is in you, except to be reprobate. Now, if I'm saying that verse up, it means for me to take the Bible and prove to myself that I'm saved. Now, how am I? Now, I repeat it. In 1957, that's been a few years back, the last Saturday night in June, 1957, and I can't go back that far, how do I know my repentance was real back then? How do I know I repented? You know why? I've been repenting ever since I repented. How do I know my faith was real all them years ago? I've been believing ever since I believed. Repentance and faith are inseparable graces. Carried on in your heart, you get heaven. There's no such thing in the Bible. You coming into church repenting and believing and getting saved, living for the devil 45 years. God started work in you, and I've done read here in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing. He that begun this good work in you will perform it the day of Jesus Christ. What God's doing right now is performing in us by carrying on repentance and faith. You're supposed to repent every day and keep on believing. We're not them who go back to mission, but them that believe to the same the soul. That means you keep on believing. Are you sure you're saved? Do you know you got a right relationship with God? But if you just go forward in the Baptist church and take a 6-foot spiritual eye, take a fan. Answer some questions. Have you been translated from the power of darkness in the kingdom of God's dear Son? You know that Christ Jesus is in you? You have a surety in your heart, your sins have been forgiven, that Christ died for you? Do you believe in the living Lord? Is your faith anchored behind the veil? Hebrews 6:18 and following, that by two immutable things, which is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, we have faithful refuge to lay hold on the hope that's before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which is within the veil, where the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever, as the Lord of Melchizedek. So your faith is anchored in the living Lord. Written word is the foundation for our faith. The living word is the object of our faith. Saving faith is more than facts. It's built on facts, but it's more than facts. You can't get saved without the facts, but the facts don't save. Christ is the Savior. 1 John 5:12. Whosoever hath the Son of God hath life. He hath not the Son of God hath no life. These things are written that you might know that you have eternal life. I know I've got eternal life because I got Christ, and Christ is eternal life. Now, how long it is, what it is. John 17:3, that they might know thee, the only true God, the Lord Jesus Christ, that not that they might know about thee, that they might know thee. Did you know that's the vast difference in knowing about somebody and knowing somebody? Did you know you can know about Jesus and not know Jesus? Did you know you can believe in the dead view hanging on the cross? You know, you can believe in the virgin birth of sinless life, and even the death of the cross, the bodily resurrection, no respect, and yet not lay hold of Jesus Christ, the saved in faith. May God help us to say it. You know you're saved. Listen, life's too short, and eternity's too long, hell's too hot. And heaven's too sweet for you to be mistaken. God fixed it so you can know. We know we pass this life because we love the brethren. I know my Redeemer liveth. That's what Job said. Paul said, I know whom I believe, and was afraid he's able to keep that Christ committed on him against that day. It's an unconditional commitment to Jesus Christ. Commitment's two ways, like a marriage. You don't know that the woman don't want to commit to the man commits to the woman. God makes two, one flesh. Same thing in salvation. The sinner commits himself to the Savior, then the Savior commits himself to the sinner. They become one. He that's drawn the Lord to one spirit. Yes, sir. Christ in you is hope of glory. Hope built on faith. Now, faith is a substance of things hope for. The evidence of things not seen. You got evidence when you got faith. Let me ask you a question. You got any evidence? No, you got any evidence? What's evidence of your faith, Lord? I worked on the ark for over 100 years just because God said to come to play. And if you got any faith, I walked with God 300 years. Jeremiah, you got any faith? Oh, yes, I say true. Right in the time of persecution, I was hung up and put in a dungeon to die. And I just kept on keeping on. You got any evidence? You know, I've been saying for almost 47 years now, you can't go to heaven walking toward hell. You got to get off the broad road. You'd be surprised today that people think they're going to heaven, but they're living for the devil. One man said to me one time, he said, Brother Mitchell, said, you don't preach backslide much, do you? I said, you think a fellow ought to practice what he preaches? He said, well, yes, that's how I try not to practice. I don't fuss with people for using the term, but the term's not in the New Testament. Most of the time, when it's talking about that side, it's talking about a nation sliding away from doing what God said to do. We're not doing something to be saved. That's what's already been done. We're trusting Him who's done for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. One good man said, I got to wait from the Lord. I said, I have a question for you. He said, what's that? I take away from somebody who won't leave you. If He comes and makes His abode in us, He said, I'm going you all the way. The end of the world, what, how are you going to get away from it? If you feel the Holy Spirit of the evolution, what happens? You break fellowship and you feel like you're away from it. You feel like that God knows you because you're not walking the line. You haven't gone anywhere. If He's ever been in there, He's still in there. That's why you come back and repent, because the Spirit of God grieves in you, and your spirit grieves, and you're miserable until you confess your sin. If you live in sin and be happy, you're not saved. According to the Bible. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Sin's not controlling us because we're not under the law, but under grace. Now, another thing we'll do is to have victory. In these difficult times, it's in camp at God's altar. I'm glad we can do that. Hebrews chapter, is it chapter 4 and verse 14? Then again, we have a great high priest as we pass into heaven, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest that cannot be tested with anybody from us, but all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. On the basis that said, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, might obtain mercy and find grace. Help us in the time of need. I'm glad we have access right into God's throne room, because we got a good high priest. We don't have to go pray to a priest during our whole Sunday morning. Early morning now, we got a high priest that can be touched with the finger of our infirmity. Got direct access by a new and living way, which He consecrated for us. Amen. He went to heaven and sprinkled the altar with His own blood and set out the right hand of the nation on high. Now He's our high priest. He can be touched with the finger of our infirmities. I say, praise God, in camp at that altar. Live close off. You know, reason Lot got in the mess he got in after he left Abraham? They'll get built off. They'll get built 20 years down in Sodom, wound up losing everything he had, cattle, children, lost everything he had, barely got out of himself because they actually drug him out. Listen, may God help us to see we need to encamp at the Lord's altar because of our priest. And that's where you get power. You can't have power if you don't pray. You must always pray and not to faint. I will that men pray for lift up holy hands without wrath and doubt. One time somebody said, we don't believe in that lift up hands. I said, I know what it shows up on you. You know, if there's anything dying out today, it's old time prayer meeting. That's one thing everybody can do to save. You might not be able to preach or sing these special songs or play the instrument or be a deacon, but you could pray. All men ought to pray. May God help us to see it. And the blessing is not so much words, it's the desire of your heart. Teaming up with God. Amen. The early church in the book of Acts, that whatever they did was bathed in prayer. They didn't try to do anything until they prayed. Actually, someone said, well, didn't they go in the Great Commission? I said, I told them first to tear it loose. Till they be endued with power, then go. The devil don't care how much we go if we don't have no power. Paul said, our gospel came not only in word only, but in power and the Holy Ghost and much assurance. The word in itself won't get the job done. It must come in power. If you're saved, the word of God comes to you in power. Peter got to preach in Acts 2:36. He said, let all the house of Israel know assured him. This same Jesus that you crucified, God raised from the dead, made him both Lord and God. When they heard this, they were pricked in the heart. The power of God took the message in the heart. The word of God took in power and sharpened in the sword, piercing even the dividing of the son of soul and spirit. Close enough. In other words, man has a soul and spirit. The only thing that can divide that asunder is the word of God in power like a two-edged sword. See, everybody's a soulless being. Everybody has a spirit inside. Somebody said, I thought the spirit was the soul. Well, you just learned something. It's not the soul. The spirit's what died toward God when Adam sinned. The spirit was alive toward God when he sinned. His spirit died toward God and become alive to the world. That's what God regenerates when you get saved, is the spirit. He regenerates the spirit, saves the soul, circumcised the inside, cuts the inside man loose and outside man. Inside man's the soul and spirit. The word of God comes in power and divides the thunder, the soul and spirit. Here's the end of the joints and the marrow. That you learn the thought, the intent of the heart. You learn from God, through the word of God, when it comes in power, what kind of a fellow you are. Fellow don't know what kind of fellow he is until God lets you know it. First work in salvation is illumination. The entrance of the Word of God gives light. So the Word comes in power and turns the light on, and you find out you're a child of wrath, lost and undone. If you're bad and mistaken, if you think all sinners know that they're lost sinners. Sinners that's drinking whiskey, shooting dice, and playing poker, and chasing women, and buying lottery tickets, don't know they're lost. And I found out I was lost, and under condemnation, it kept the fear of God up in my heart. The fear of God's the beginning of wisdom. I didn't fear God much before that. When God turned the light on, I was brought to fear God. I didn't know about the Bible, I didn't know about the gospel. But the fear of God started to work in my heart. I tried to quit cussing and drinking whiskey even before I got saved. When I got real lost, I started wanting to get real found. You know what's missing in our churches today? Old town, shiny eye conviction. You know why? You haven't got any law preaching that's rightful order. The preacher of law is a schoolmaster. Law. By the law, the knowledge of sin. We need law preaching that's rightful order. Old-time preachers are nice and loyal. Then they'll preach the gospel, then they'll preach the law. Because the gospel's not gospel to sinners until they're faced with the law. They find out they're transgressors. They find out they're facing the law of God, His broken commandments, and going down to hell under the law. Then when the gospel comes, it becomes good news to them. Listen, we ought to encamp the altar. God, because the promise, He promised Him, call him to be a light to thee, and show thee great mighty things that thou knowest not. Sometimes I might call you, and you couldn't answer. You would if you could, but I may need something you can't do. I got a God that promised to supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory. He knows what I need even before I ask. He told me to ask, He's going to supply my needs. What God's given me this far, what He's going to give me here on, He's going to get me as far as I'm going. One devil said to me, he said, what are we going to do if they're coming against you in the world? I said, I don't know what you're going to do. I'm going to keep on doing what I've been doing for 50 years. God's not about to push the panic button. When it's all over, He's not going to wring His hands out and think it turned out like this. He knew how it turned out before it ever started. He knows everything, praise God. So don't panic, don't panic. Everything's right on schedule. How to have victory. God wants you to have victory. Thanks be unto God, He gives us victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the light of heaven said, therefore, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abound the light. And the work of God, for as much as you know, that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Since you have the victory, lift your eyes, and to move into it. Then I'll tell you something else. Endure against the enemy. Hardness. Now, the Baptist got throw that word out, endure. But you ain't going to enjoy it unless you don't endure some things. You know, you got to go through some trials and problems. And what? He said in 2 Timothy 4:5, watch thou in all things. Now, when I was in the army, and the battles were going on, the most important fellow when everything was tried was that fellow on guard duty. That's why I said, definitely go to sleep on guard duty in the war. Because he's watching. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, has a roaring lion, walks about taking him and made a vow. He's about a lot better folk than us, so you better watch him. And he said, Timothy, in your hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that goeth to war and thanks himself in the presence of God did not praise him, but called him to be a soldier. So we're not only called to be saints, we're called to be soldiers. You do not need soldiers if there's not any danger of a battle. That's why it's supposed to put on the whole armor of God. He said, I'm going to come down and put it on. You put it. Take unto you the whole armor of God. You put it on. You know, it's available here if you'll put it on. They give us the combat uniform, but they didn't come put it on for you. They taught you how to wear it. But your responsibility is to put it on. The most important part when you go out to battle is a weapon. You've got to have a weapon that's zeroed in and shoot straight and know when to fire. You know, they used to teach us calling to the mud. It don't matter how muddy you get, hold that weapon up out of that mud because you might need to fire. That's the way it is today. Brother, we need to be ready to fire the weapon. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And it'll get the job done. It will, boy. It'll make you glad or mad. It'll get you, it'll make you shout or proud. You'll love the preacher, hate the preacher one. When I get on preaching, you ought to hate your sin more, or you ought to hate me more. I'm not me going around trying to please everybody. I want everybody to love me, and I love the Lord. I want you to love me, and want everybody to love me. I found out a long time ago everybody knows, don't love me. If I happen to cross where they're at, you know, and they won't repent, they're going to think something's wrong with the preacher. Yes, I'm preaching. Don't preach like that. Well, you ain't hearing your preacher now. Amen. We're glad you come to hear this old country preacher. Listen, Lord, end your sojourners. Sojourners, see, we've been sold this bill of goods, yet if we're in the will of God, we'll have all kind of prosperity, material prosperity. Listen, New Testament church had no houses, and they did have houses and land, sold them. They were sojourners. You know, it wasn't promised any earthly possessions. The church didn't know anything about any earthly possession. This blessed all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 1:3. Our blessings are spiritual blessings. Now, when the church got blessed and got built up in material goods in Revelation chapter 3, you know what they said? We're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And they got filled out. That's when we got filled out, when they got rich. Everybody in America is rich now. Compared with folks 100 years ago, all they had was a horse and buggy or wagon. You were going to church, going anywhere else. And we got 2 or 3 cars, 5 TVs, central heat and air, CDs and 2 banks, worried about what the stock market's going to do tomorrow. Rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing. Help us, Lord. It's awful bad to have need of nothing, but it's worse to have need of nothing and not know it. Know us now that thou wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked, they didn't know it, though. I'm preaching myself. I think we're in a condition now that we don't know what that's it for. You reckon we are? Well, you reckon our old preachers 150 years ago would think about it if they come in here now. I've wondered about it. And you? May God help us. I better go on. I don't want to kill the meeting. What to do to have victory in difficult times? Express your love for the Savior. We need to express our love for the Savior. You know, you can express your love for the Savior by cross-bearing, taking the cross. Luke 9:23, 15 men come after me, they deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. The Christian life is a daily self-denial and a daily following the Lord. We'll express our love toward the Lord by obeying and following him. We can do that, couldn't we? Expressing our love, I mean, if I don't love him enough to do what he says, I don't love him enough. How could I love, you know, just express my love in the saints? We know a person does not because of love of the brethren. How could I love whom I'm not seeing if I don't love whom I have seen? See, if the devil loves you to preach it to you, tells you the truth. You wouldn't, if a danger's down the road, you wouldn't think a man thought much of if he didn't tell you, danger's down the road. I'm telling everybody, danger's just ahead. Difficult times are here. You haven't seen anything yet. You think it's bad now, you wait 12 more months passes. I've been telling folks what's going to happen. Listen, you can't live on borrowed money like this. I've been talking about that since 1960. This nation's been going to hell at a breakneck speed since 1960. Look at the record and see. 63, they voted prayer and Bible out of the schools. 60, the hippies and yippies and the dope had they got here. 72 or 3 there, they voted the abortion law in. In the 80s, the homos come out of the closet. Now they're promoting same-sex marriage and open sodomy in the military. And how bad is it going to get? Jesus is coming soon. You better run for mercy. We better try to have victory. You'll get discouraged if you're not careful, if you don't put on the armor of God and express your love to the Lord and forget about what the world does and stop listening to Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh too much. I said last night, and I listened to some on the road, but listen, bad news sells, good news don't sell. You're supposed to see what's going on, but don't look at it too much. When you see all these things, lift up your head and look up. We're not out of this world. We're not going down this world. We're going up when Jesus comes to get us out of this world. Praise God. I'm glad we're in the world, not out of the world. The world knoweth us not because it knew him not. I say praise God. We express our love to the Lord by worshiping him. Hey, I want to say something real careful here. Don't forget it. Don't judge me till you think about it. Rejoicing is not altogether worship. Worship is admiring, adoring the Lord for who he is. Now, that might bring in rejoicing, but many people go to church and rejoice, and their life's not changed tomorrow. So they didn't worship, they just got in on the rejoicing. You be surprised the baby people, they think rejoicing, dancing off the wall, is worship. We're built on that since TV religion came out. We think that's worship. We've sold it. Been sold that bill of goods. Now, if everybody holds their hands up and shouts and glory to God and get them, we think that's worship. And it don't change a lot. Worship changes the way you do tomorrow. Worship is adoring him for who he is. How he's had mercy on such a wreck as you are. How he saved such a hell-bent sinner as I was. Where could I be tonight? Here I am in here among the people of God, got the good word of God laying before me, loving the Lord and preaching his word. Where could I have been? I adore him for what he's done.